Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
If Rick Hahn really wanted to do something bold, and it sent a message to his fan base, sent a message to his clubhouse, Chris Bryant can play all three outfield positions. I think he's done that in the last week. He can play third base as well as anybody else in town. And nobody's hitting better than he is. Very few people in all of baseball are hitting better than he is right now. And that's not a fluke. That's who he's always been when he's healthy.
So let's talk about that for a second. I just want to know what that costs. You know, let's cut a deal.
Well,
right
I threw
now.
Out the name Yoki Cespedes. I that, you know, top international player from the recent signing period.
Done.
Keep in mind, they dumped Yu Darvish for what? Three teenagers, a 20-year-old, and Zach Davies.
Right.
You don't know what any of those four prospects are going to do. They didn't even try to claim they knew what those guys were going to do. None of them were ranked in the Padres system. You need a guy that you can sort of hang your hat on, that you feel is going to be an impact guy. And then build a package around that.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David is off today, and Matt Spiegel, kind enough to sit in this morning. Never an easy thing to get up at this hour and come in. And I appreciate it, Matt, because you've worked all week, and you work hard, and it's good of you to help us out. So appreciate it. That was Gordon Whitmire. We had him on yesterday, and he had written a thing about Chris Bryant to the White Sox, and so we talked about it a little bit, and we've talked about it quite a bit, and again, it's difficult to talk about because Dustin is so stubborn in terms of winning the deal. He has to win, and he doesn't want any more lottery tickets after the Yu Darvish salary dump. That wasn't really a trade, was it? but here we are. Chris Bryant is playing at an MVP level. He is capable of playing anywhere on the field, third base, first base, the outfield. He can play center field, for God's sake. We've seen him do that. He says he likes it because everything's in front of him, and that's what he felt most comfortable with when he was coming out of college. Talked about that a few years ago. First of all, I honestly don't think it's going to happen or could happen, but we did kind of speculate. My God, the guy – he's a self-professed legend because of the World Series and everything else. Imagine if he won two in Chicago on both sides of town. I don't know if that would damage his legacy with the Cubs, but it would certainly increase his legacy in Major League Baseball.
Who's the best and most successful player for both teams?
Yeah.
As it stands right now.
It's a good question.
I mean,
Sammy Sosa?
George Bell?
John Garland?
I know Santo played for both.
Kissinger?
But really good. Somebody would be legit really good for both?
No, it's usually one very good on one side and not so good on the other side.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's usually the tail end. Q? Yeah, I mean, seriously, like, in terms of the volume of time, Quintana's years as a White Sox were far better, obviously, but then to have a theoretical that big slice of what should have been Q's prime he had a chance to ascend to the top of that list. Quintana, by the way, a 10.29 ERA in Anaheim for Joe Maddon.
Is that right?
Now. Yeah.
Well,
getting absolutely lit up. I'm having a lot of trouble figuring out what a legit cost for a trade of a rental would be right now in Major League Baseball.
It's really hard to say.
Isn't it? A lot of these prospects haven't played organized ball since 2019
right.
until 2 days ago now. Yeah. So, all right, what are they? I haven't had a chance to look at them. Nobody's had tape on them. You know, are prospects so valuable because people are afraid to pay because they don't know if the money's going to be coming in with fans in the stands? Now that's changing a little bit. So maybe that factor will go away a little bit. That was part of why the Cubs couldn't get any prospects really worth their salt in terms of higher up in the system from the Padres.
Yeah.
The Padres wouldn't part with it. Nobody else was going to par with it because I've historically thought, all right, rental trade for a guy as good as Bryant, especially playing like he is now, that means a young starting pitcher
yes.
and a young five-tool prospect and a lottery ticket
yeah.
guy. So three.
Yeah.
Three for one.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. That's the way I've thought about it. Is that true anymore?
Probably not. I'm just being honest. I don't know that it is or not, but I think it would be. First of all, it is a rental player.
Yes,
and there is very little, if absolutely no shot, that the White Sox would be able to extend the stay of one Chris Bryant
for any of them. So not a chance. You're looking for a team that's willing to do it. I keep going back to the Atlanta Braves. Because they, over the past few years, have shown a willingness to go for one-year flyers for Josh Donaldson for a year, for Marcell Ozuna for a year. And they've still got a pretty darn good system. They got a center fielder named Kristen Pache who came up and didn't do so well and went back down. They got a third baseman left fielder named Austin Riley who's got a lot of pop, and maybe he'd be included back in the deal for Bryant. They've got young pitchers. Who they're not even really using in big roles right now. And they're definitely going for it. So I keep going back to a team like that.
So here's part of the problem. Who is good? Who is the dominant team? We thought it was the Dodgers. The Dodgers just lost to the Cubs, and they're on a downswing.
Lost 13 out of 17 of the Dodgers.
And like I said, Dave Roberts desperate to get fired. and you looked at me funny, like I was making that up.
Yeah,
don't you think he's having some problems?
He is having some problems.
At any rate, I'm not making a prediction. I'm just saying it looks like he's trying. When you think about teams that would take on Chris Bryant, I always think about teams with money or teams – like to me, it's like the Mets, the
– National League East, baby.
Washington. It's teams that have shown interest in him and prior interest in him. And the Dodgers, because they got money. I think those are the teams that you're kind of looking at because, number one, you know, Mike Rizzo loves Chris Bryant and
sure.
has, you know, a connection there. I just don't know that I believe that there is this kind of this idea that a team that is a so-called small market team in a big market would be willing to take on a guy like that without having any certainty, give up what they believe to be their certainty. The White Sox don't talk about winning a World Series. They talk about multiple ones, you know?
They're in such a weird spot. White Sox are in such a weird spot. And this is the injuries just suck.
Oh, they suck.
Oh, don't they?
So bad.
I feel empathy for you, Mully.
It's literally a drag.
You watched it for 5 years and it watched them build. And now here you are. This is supposed to be the most joyful time as you watch them, you know, play towards the full bloom of their potential. And instead you're seeing this. And now the problem is, and the manager said it, last week, we're going to have to win small, going to have to win close. So now they're going to have to start playing a kind of a brand of baseball with a lot more pitching and a lot more small ball and stuff like that, which plays into some of the manager's tendencies. And I don't know if that's the best way to go about it right now. But
again,
you might have to.
I mean, you're talking about a team that really is got good pitching and has lost a ton of power.
Mm-hmm.
You've lost a ton of home runs and a ton of power, and you got to start playing differently. Here's the problem. Normally, when you're playing small ball, it's because you're so good defensively. They're not good defensively. That's a problem.
Mm.
You know, they are going to need to win close games, and it's going to be difficult for them to do that, given the fact that they're going to kick the ball around every once in a while.
Yeah, and absolutely. And they're not as good at some of the things that they need to be good at. Like guys like Larry Garcia and Billy Hamilton are not guys who are good at the things you'd think guys like that would be good at.
Right.
In terms of bunting and
right.
getting singles and getting on. A texter says, Yankees, Yankees, Yankees for Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Sure, that's it.
You look around for Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, Braves, Nationals, Phillies, the idea that...
Have we just abandoned the idea that the Cubs aren't on that list? Like, when the Cubs aren't going to give him an extension, they're never going to come up with the kind of money it would take to keep him here. They're not even offering, they're not even negotiating, right? They're not even offering the old money. So the Cubs, see, the thinking always was, Matt, that you had Rizzo was coming back because he's Rizzo.
Yeah.
And then you're choosing between Bryant and Baez, and you're probably taking Baez.
Right.
I don't know that the conversation has changed in any way, but are they actually choosing between people, or who's coming and who's going? That's what you got to ask yourself.
I've been thinking it was going to be those two as well. That Rizzo makes all the sense as the modern day Mr. Cub and everything he is and everything he does. But apparently he's not wanting to bend too much, and the Cubs were trying to get that done in-house. Rizzo went public, and they found it awkward, and then Jed Hoyer came out. And the way that Jed Hoyer talked about Rizzo, it sounded like, all right, okay, no, they are going to get that one done. So I still think they're going to get that one done.
I do too.
Baez has made sense in terms of his popularity, especially in the international market. This kid they signed, I think it's Christian Hernandez, the shortstop, who they signed internationally over the past offseason, in his bedroom, on the walls, Javi Baez.
Yeah.
Lots of pictures of Baez.
You know, I think we learned that when they were at the Little League World Series. I'm not joking. I think Javi Baez, Javi Baez has been my favorite Cub since before he was any good, because there were flashes of this unbelievable, of El Mago, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that his flash and his kind of way of playing, the things he can do, ambidextrous. We know he's left-handed, so we got tag metrics. I'd never even heard of that. We got a guy that can do things tagging a base runner that we've never seen. So I don't understand why he's not already done. And I thought back, there was a time when they were going to have that deal done.
Me
and
too.
He was right on the verge of it. And then I guess the pandemic hit and everything fell apart.
I think that's what it was. The pandemic hit and the finances changed and the Cubs got some cold feet, and Baez thought about stretching it out. And now if I'm him and they're offering me something right now that looks good, I sign it. If I'm him with the shortstop market that's coming, Lindor just got a crap ton, but Trevor Story's coming, Corey Seager's coming, Carlos Correa's coming, and then Marcus Semien and other guys out there. If I'm Baez, I sign it. And maybe they still will. So, yes, to your point, I've always thought they were going to sign at least a couple of those guys and have them be bridges.
Yeah.
And so you'd think it's Rizzo and Baez. Right now, as I'm watching, if I had to choose, I would do Rizzo and Bryant. If I'm the Cubs and I can keep two, I try to keep Rizzo. I try to keep Bryant and Rizzo because Bryant has reestablished his value.
And why aren't they doing that?
I don't know. I think that Scott Boras and Chris Bryant have been dedicated to getting all the way to free agency, just like his buddy Bryce Harper did with Scott Boras. Get all the way there and then see what you get and make a decision. Bryce Harper almost went back to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the Cubs will have an offer of consequence, and it'll be in the conversation for Bryant to come back here. But I think he and Boras have been committed to stretching this out, and they're going to play it out all the way to the end. And the Cubs are going to have their hand forced, I think, eventually to deal him or just let it play and take the compensatory draft pick, which is what Washington did.
But this is what's happening right as we're sitting here talking, right? We're getting into May. We are into the baseball season. I mean, obviously there's a lot left, but there's a minimal amount of time before the trade deadline. That's when these guys move. They spent the offseason trying to trade Chris Bryant and they couldn't get it done. And now they have to get it done. So it seems like if we're sitting here talking, well, they ought to do this, they ought to do that. Shouldn't they already be well into that by now?
I think they're trying to compete too. They're really trying to do that needle thread thing.
Yeah,
they really are trying to do it. It's really difficult. And I wonder what the news that Chicago's going to open back up
changes things.
Yeah. Looking at full stadiums and full revenue, and you don't want to have the appearance of willingly not being competitive when you're dealing with that. So I think that might change things.
Will the fans be back?
I think so.
Yeah, I do too.
Don't you?
I think everybody's sick of all this stuff and everybody wants to come back.
Everybody's itching, and I feel like all they need is official permission, and then they're coming.
The name I'm not hearing, and I want to hear because he's one of my two for sures, is Wilson Contreras. Why are we not talking about him? Why is he? He's gone.
Because he's under contract. They don't have to make a decision on him.
They don't have to make it right now. But I mean, I'd like to lock him up. I'd like to keep
what kind
him.
Of
like
what kind of right wing nonsense is that?
Lock him up. Lock him up. Keep politics out of it.
Yeah, we need to grab that expression and bring it back into sports.
Are you saying that Chris Bryant's MVP election was a big lie? Is that what you're saying, Justin? Am I reading that right?
A couple of hanging chads on that one.
Don't they have a really good catcher in their system? Don't they have a couple of catchers in their system? I mean,
everybody's got a couple of lottery tickets in their drawer.
No.
Miguel Amaya.
Yeah, Miguel Amaya is really going to be a good player.
Defensively, especially.
But you could put Wilson in left. You could put Wilson eventually at first. I just really like Wilson Contreras.
I like his energy and his passion, too.
I just think that that's a guy.
If you're prioritizing, Dustin, don't you have to?
Of course, you got
to
get the guys that are about to leave.
Yes.
But Rizzo, I don't think Anthony Rizzo's got this big market. I don't think Anthony Rizzo's got
they don't either. Yeah, did you see that contract offer?
His biggest, brightest future, though, is here in Chicago. And it's because it's not only now, it's the staying. You know, we talked about the next Mr. Cub. And he could have a job in this town for 30 more years. He could be in a radio booth. He could be in a TV booth.
For sure.
He could be the ambassador. He could have a restaurant where
he could get a ride on a boat if Jason Hayward wanted to give him a ride.
He's got his own logo, for Christ's sake. Did you see that sweatshirt he had on the other night? That was really cool.
I did not.
That
I know.
Really cool.
There's a restaurant with his name on it right across from the ballpark that he has nothing to do with. And he's not too happy.
Is that right?
Oh yeah.
What's it called?
Rizzo's.
I haven't been down there in so long that I wouldn't know.
Yeah, he's not. I know there was a time when
is that newer to the area?
A couple years.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, it's and he's not been happy about it because it's not his. But I mean,
is the guy named Rizzo?
I would assume. I should have full context before I open up a microphone. But I miss the days of athlete restaurants. Where's Walter Payton's Roundhouse?
Oh,
come
God.
On, let's go. Where's Buffon?
I got engaged there.
At the Roundhouse?
I did.
Oh. Wow.
See?
It's stories I never knew.
A charity event for my now nieces and nephews, like Catholic school. It was like an event, so we were dressed up, and I got engaged at the Roundhouse.
Just on a whim? Were you just inspired by the romance in the Roundhouse?
No, I knew she wanted it done around, like with her family, and her sister was there.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, that's nice.
That's
yeah.
lovely.
Yeah.
I would find...
If you were engaging me, it would have been at Ditka's, of course, but since it wasn't all about me, it wasn't at Ditka's.
The romance of Walter Payton. It's well known.
We got to get to the pick six. It's Mully and Haw. It's Matt Spiegel on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
How did you feel hearing Matt Nagy say his fixation with Justin Fields began in 2020 when talking to Ohio State coach Ryan Day about Buckeye players in last year's draft? And Day told him of Fields.
This kid is a generational talent, and that struck me. That stayed with me.
Those comments from Nagy made on 97.1 The Fan in Columbus, Ohio. Power of suggestion or statement of fact?
Wow. I mean, he's a generational talent, and you just take his word on it. You know, it's really interesting. Just the whole college coach thing, if we could talk about that for a second. It's really interesting. You know, Fitz, for instance, at Northwestern has a reputation that he tells you exactly the truth about everything. Hmm. He doesn't lie to you. He doesn't make up stories. He tells you exactly what he believes, and that's a really good reputation. Over the years, if you remember Penn State – They could never get information out of Penn State.
Yeah.
They would close off the campus. You would never get the straight scoop on what was going on with players there. And it was always a roll of the dice with Penn State, and one of the reasons that so many of those guys were either underdrafted or were not as good as you thought they were going to be based on how they played. You just couldn't get information out of that place. So it's strange to have that go on. I hope Ryan Day has a really good reputation. I don't know Ryan Day, and I haven't talked to any scouts about him. But if Nagy is talking to him and he's telling him, hey, that's generational talent, let's hope that he also saw it on tape and he also witnessed it. So it's good to have a guy tell you that, and that can stick in your brain. But you don't want someone telling you something about a player and then you go back to it and it's not reality. I think that Justin Fields has a chance to be a generational talent, and I hope that's right. It was just interesting to hear Nagy talk about how we got onto him.
That dynamic between scouting and the college coaches is fascinating to me. Mully's got a trove of stuff in the brain. Every sentence he says, I want to go down that road and have a 10-minute conversation. I'm going to take this as just a piece of the puzzle, because we also know that Matt Nagy watched every snap of Justin Fields' college career. Right. He watched the entire thing. So if that stuck in his head and made him more interested to watch and watch with clarity, I'm cool with that. I love what you said earlier about how collaboration means that Matt Nagy has more power, because that is clearly what it has meant, and I'm cool with it. We know that Nagy had Mahomes and Watson above Mitch. We know that I don't want to trust Ryan Pace on quarterbacks. So this is what I dreamed of, is Nagy finding a quarterback he loved to fit the system and being empowered to get him, and they got him. And now I'm just starved to see them together and see if it actually works. I feel like we finally get a chance to get the full Matt Nagy, Andy Reid tree experience, and maybe it'll be good.
A pick six to end the half!
Zach Davies, centerpiece of the Yu Darvish trade/salary dump, or was he traded for Victor Caratini? Anyway, Davies starts today against Pittsburgh. Will he log more than 4 innings after failing to do so in his previous 5 starts? What's wrong with him?
Yeah, I've been taking a lot of crap from the afternoon guys, from Parkins and the producers, because I said, you know, I'm excited about Zach Davies. And then they played the Ron Jaworski bit where he says, call me crazy, but I'm excited about Tyler Palko before a Monday night football game. I'm like, it's not the same. But, you know, Zach Davies has been bad. It's for him, it's about throwing that sinker right on the low edge of the strike zone.
Right.
And if he doesn't execute it exactly perfectly, then the changeup doesn't play off of it, and then he can't do his entire thing, which is that if they're swinging at the changeup, keep throwing it. If they're not swinging at the changeup, sneak fastballs by them. Sneak those sinkers by them on the low end of the strike zone. If he can't do that, then he's got nothing, because he doesn't have velocity to blow it by anybody. His last start was a step forward. I know it's only 4 innings, but he got out of trouble in the 3rd and the 4th, and he looked better and executed better. So I'm going to continue my mild excitement for Zach Davies and say that he gets through at least 5 today.
I love it, Matt. You're going out on a limb. I'm going with you. 5 innings for Zach Davies. Let's make it happen. Listen,
such a sad low bar.
We're long gone from the Cactus League, right? So the Cactus League MVP is maybe going to come around now. Jock Peterson was a one-man band in the Cactus League, and Zach Davies looked awful good in the Cactus League. So pitch to contact, you know, do your thing and let the guys behind you pick you up and get through 5 innings. Let's go.
A pick six of 100 yards.
With the Pirates coming in for a weekend series against the Cubs, will the home team be over 500 on Monday? What will be the determinative factor be in the series?
It's going to be pitching. It's going to be the Cubs needing good pitching. And they got really good pitching from young, unexpected sources. In Elsley, I suppose you expect, I don't know if you expect good, but you expect something better out of him. So it was good to see the young pitching help them sweep the Dodgers. They're going to need all hands on deck. Listen, this Pirates team is this. You got to be better than teams to win a division. You've got to be better than teams to get to the playoffs. You got to be better than the Pirates if you're the Cubs. So be better than them. I want to call for a sweep here, but I've seen the Pirates handle the Cubs too often. So I guess I'm going with a win of the series, and that's all you really need. Keep winning series. But, God, I mean, this is a team you really ought to beat up on, right?
Absolutely. They have two sweeps on the year. The Mets, who were in first place at the time, and the Dodgers. Those are the two teams they've swept.
Wow.
Everything else has been either a loss or a win in a three-game series. Do you realize they've played seven rubber matches, and they are 1-6 in those rubber matches? So, like, the end of a three-game series and it feels awful, that's because they just lost the last game just about every single time. You got to beat up on the Pirates. You have to try and carry Big Mo after that Dodgers sweep. And I think they will. See, now, over 500's got to be a sweep because they're one under. So I'm pretty good at math. You win two out of three, and you're at 500. Does that count? No. So you're asking if it's going to be a sweep.
That's it. You're caught it.
Nah, I think they'll take two out of three. But I think they're going to win a rubber match on Sunday, and it's going to feel good on Monday.
I like it.
Pick six.
How relieved were White Sox fans when Bob Nightingale quickly reported team officials were not interested in reuniting Tony La Russa with 41-year-old Albert Pujols, who was cut yesterday by the Angels? Did that seem like a preemptive strike before Tony could bring up the subject?
Well, I'm thrilled that it didn't happen because there is no fit for Albert Pujols. Yermín Mercedes is your DH. Jose Abreu is your first baseman. And you've got like four other guys who could do those things.
Yes,
if need be. And that's all Albert can do. No, I think Bob Nightingale was chasing the report from Mark Feinsand of MLB.com. Right. And the thing is that Feinsand then later tweeted, hey, this was just a thought. So, but yeah. Feinsand, he broke the Pujols news,
yeah.
And his next tweet was, the White Sox seemed like a logical
right.
spot. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you put those two together. But that was a guy giving you conjecture following news break. So Nightingale did what a reporter's supposed to do. He chased it down, and he's the guy with access to the brain trust. And he got a quick no, and hopefully that relieved White Sox fans.
Yeah, 41. Albert Pujols. If he comes with the time machine, you make that deal in a heartbeat, right? But he doesn't. So you can't get prime Albert Pujols. You get this version of it. And really, I guess you could say maybe Tony needs a hug. You could bring in a guy that give him a big bear hug, but that's about the contribution for Albert Pujols. You don't need first baseman, and you don't need DHs.
Mm-hmm.
That's not been the problem. You need outfielders. So unless he suddenly learns to play the outfield, I don't understand why you would bother with it.
I will say, though, if this is the end for Albert Pujols, a remarkable career.
Oh, God, incredible.
I saw the stat. Giancarlo Stanton is on this crazy streak right now where for the Yankees in these 12 games, he's just absolutely on fire. Albert Pujols did basically what Stanton is doing for 11 years.
Yeah.
Like he did 11 years of an OPS over one. Just absolutely ridiculous.
Aren't you hoping that Stanton keeps that up all year and really starts hitting some home runs? Or is it me that has him in the home run derby?
Oh, it's you. You've got him. I'm doing all right with Franmil Reyes and Nelson Cruz, I think. I'll look at the stats now. I forgot. That's a good call.
Can you believe this? Pick six.
What did you see last night from Zach LaVine following his 11-game absence due to COVID-19? With six games remaining over the next 9 days, are you expecting a miracle playoff run from the Bulls? Whimper or bang for this bunch?
Oh, this is it. This is out with a bang, man. They are coming for you. That was great to see last night. Zach LaVine looked like a guy who'd been out for 11 games. He wasn't his usual dominant self, but he did fine. I thought Vooch was the guy. I mean, I was surprised he was available, and man, he dominated that game. And it's a difficult one to draw upon because that's a team that the Bulls beat, and they beat them like a drum. So we'll talk to KC Johnson in a little bit, and we'll get his take on it. But I'd love to see the Bulls put some wins together. They didn't pick up any ground. Washington came back and won that game, so it's still three in the hook, and that's a lot with this few games left.
It's sad how it's all gone, and it's sad to be back in a position where I'm kind of hoping that they lose their way into the top four where their draft pick would be protected and they could keep it. It's unfortunate. I guess we should be pleased to see LaVine and Vooch work together more because that's your core. Those two and Patrick Williams is all that I can be assured of to be back next year as a concerted core, along with whatever free agent point guard they can find. So, You know, I can't hide the disappointment after a really enjoyable start to the year, even with the losing, feeling confident in the front office and confident in Billy Donovan. But the future is still overall bright, and you just got to hold on to that. And I guess I'd rather they play well, that LaVine and Vooch play well together for the next six games and just build on something.
That is a pick six.
Is there a freak show quality to the YouTube stars Logan and Jake Paul, as evidenced by yesterday's bizarre brawl at a PR event for Logan's upcoming June fight against Floyd Mayweather? Is it brilliant showmanship or wretched excess? Jake Paul infuriated Mayweather by stealing his hat and wound up with a black eye for his trouble when reportedly punched by one of Floyd's bodyguards. Mayweather threatened to kill him. Bad for boxing or part of the show?
Well, boxing will take whatever it can get these days. And it's too bad because I like boxing. I like legit boxing. But they really marketed themselves into being a niche sport. You know, all the pay-per-views and the way that they kind of kept it from everybody for all those decades. I think they ended up biting themselves in the butt. This stuff is gross. I find it to be laughable, and not in a way that makes me want to watch it and laugh at it. It's just laughable in a way that makes me want to, tell it to shoo and go away. But, you know, I mean, look, if they can get some attention for boxing and Ray Flores, former SCORE intern, Ray Flores.
Yeah, Ray, great guy.
Yeah, great guy. And part of this action and doing his job in terms of bridging those gaps. I know it's for a lot of people. It's not for me, I must admit.
It's funny because I have watched Logan and Jake Paul pretty much their entire boxing careers.
Ah, wow.
Because my son is
into it,
and he's a junior in high school, and he's, you know, I remember watching this, and I was trying to explain to him that's not boxing. What they're doing is not boxing, and we went back and forth, and then I was sitting there, we watched a prize fight together, and he's like, oh, you're right. This is much different. But it was really fun because they had headgear on, and I was telling them that's for training. And he was saying, no, that's going to be the future of boxing. And I thought, that's really a good point, John. And we got into a nice exchange about it. But it's what I find fascinating about this is that because I've watched these guys, I can't wait to see them get their arses knocked out. they're really deserving of it. And For years, all the pay-per-view was to watch Floyd hopefully get his arse kicked.
You're right.
Like, there is an element of this that brings people in. That Jake Paul, the guy who stole the hat, he got 1.45 million people to pay $50 to watch him fight a wrestler. I mean, they are bringing boxing to the forefront. It's ridiculous. These guys are carnival barkers, and they're not boxers. And Floyd said that they're fake boxers, and he was going to show. Floyd is like 18 years older than the guy he's going to fight. He's 30 pounds lighter and about 10 inches shorter. It's bizarre. This is like freak show stuff. But I cannot help myself. I want to see these guys get knocked out, and I wouldn't mind if Floyd got knocked out either. So
it's a win-win.
It's the kind of thing that I'll end up watching, and I can't believe I'm saying that. Horrible confession.
No, it's
I'm
beautiful.
I'm fascinated by it.
But the generational thing is fascinating because it's for your son. So if that gets you in, and then you can have those conversations, that's great. I'm jealous.
Everyone can agree on punchable people. That's you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, all we need is we just need Cutler to get in there, get in a fight.
All right, we're going to talk to KC Johnson next. He's Matt Spiegel. It's Mully and Haw, The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Banks it in.
KC Johnson.
Come and get some of this.
Bulls basketball.
Whoa! Stop it! Stop it! Did not do it like that!
Taking you inside the locker room with KC Johnson.
Oh my goodness! Did you not get the memo?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Matt Spiegel kind enough to sit in for David this morning, and we are delighted to bring you KC Johnson, brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. KC, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Well, we're all fired up because the Bulls are back, and they are at full strength, and this is it. Here you go. This is the big push. I hate to say this, but I was scoreboard watching as I was looking at the Bulls last night, and I thought, wow, Washington loses this game. It's only a couple games. They're six, and then they came back and won, and I thought, well, I'm an idiot. I don't know why I would even cheer for that or even think about it, but, you know, they look good. They looked good last night when everyone's together. I thought Coby White looked good. I thought that, you know, Vooch looked great, and it was just good to see Zach LaVine back.
Yeah, and some might say you were scoreboard watching the wrong way there, Mully, since that Raptors loss hurt the Bulls' draft lottery positioning. So yeah, who knows what to be cheering for at this point of the season. But if you're just watching basketball, it was certainly a better effort. I just thought that they looked like they got a jolt of energy really throughout the team from the jump. I mean, they've had such poor first quarters of late. I thought beyond offensively, and obviously Vooch had the big night offensively, Zach kind of eased his way back. And I thought defensively, they were completely on point and probably one of their best defensive games in some time. So, you know, I think the encouraging thing to take away is that before Zach entered the health and safety protocols, he and Vooch had not played very well together. And I thought last night in their shared minutes together, they looked really, really darn good.
Yeah, that's the thing, KC, is like, all right, so do I look at just the basketball of it or the big picture of it? By the way, a huge smile on my face as I heard, come and get some of this, the number of times I've been in my house or in the car and heard that with you coming on with these guys, and now I get to be a part of it. I'm excited. Let's just stick to the basketball end of it. Assuming that you're talking about a build in the future with Vooch and Zach running a crap ton of pick and roll and Patrick Williams there too, you fill that out with what? A 3-and-D guy and a point guard? Are those the two big things that you're looking for this coming off season, and point guard ahead of all, I assume?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you can accomplish both those this offseason, Matt. What I would say is, you know, Mully actually raised a good point. I mean, that's the first time Coby and Zach have started together in this lineup since Vooch has arrived. So, and I thought Coby played very well. Now, I agree, and I said ad nauseum, that I don't think Coby White is a starting point guard in this league, but he's certainly an important piece of this core moving forward as well. So to see him out there playing well, what was important too. You know, Patrick had the aggressive start, and the difference to me with last night is he didn't keep scoring, but you noticed him throughout the second half. He's had too many games this season where he's had the aggressive start and then kind of just disappear. And, you know, he ended up with 9 rebounds. So he was making an impact on the glass and obviously had some nice defensive plays in that second half too. So yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm one of these ones who's like, chase the play-in. Why not? I mean, you know, I know people are hung up on draft lottery odds and big picture stuff, and I get all that. But right now, that's what this play-in tournament is for. It's to make these final games, you know, watchable and important. And, you know, there's still mathematically a chance. So that's what I'm going to be focused on. Maybe I'm just old school that way. I don't know.
I'm totally with you, Casey. I hate playing. I hate the whole, well, now it's time to lose. You know, the smart thing to do is lose. I want to see. They got young players. They got players that haven't played together. They haven't played well together. It's been disjointed. And that, how many years do we talk about that with the Bulls?
Yeah. And the trade was designed to make it nice and clean to root for that kind of thing and hope that they get there as well.
The trade was designed to make the playoffs and to make an impact. But they unfortunately had no time together at all, and they were going to have to learn all this stuff on the court. It's been disappointing, without a doubt. But I definitely agree with you, Casey. I hate this tankathon that we go through with teams. It just doesn't appeal to me as, you know, as a guy counting his sunsets.
Yeah, and I'll for what it's worth, the other nice thing is you haven't heard any of that talk from the organization. I mean, Billy was pretty emphatic pregame yesterday that right now they're just focused on playing as well as they can and trying to win games. Now, he did say he did leave himself some wiggle room by saying, you know, maybe we revisit that at some point. But just to hear the way they're talking, I mean, Zach is saying, you know, I'm not wired that way. You're not going to hear that conversation from me. is refreshing from my perspective, maybe not from everybody's, but from my perspective. And here's the other thing, if you want to tie it into big picture stuff, guys, is, you know, all we heard from Arturis and Mark Eversley when they first got here was this is going to be a player-first organization, and, you know, we're going to empower players, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I know Zach. I know Zach well. I know how he's wired. He is pissed that he missed these last 11 games, and he wants to play these final seven. I bet even if they're eliminated, he's going to be wanting to play. So if that's the message you're sending and that's the culture you're trying to create, you know, why not see to what the player wants to do? I mean, we'll see how that plays out. But that's another little small angle to this as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's a big angle because the decision was let's build culture, let's win. So take every opportunity to do that. I'm with you. As I watch Lauri Markkanen, I feel emotionally like he's already gone. It's just kind of I watch it and I'm like, oh yeah, that is good. Okay, good for you, and that'll be somewhere else. Somebody's going to offer him more than they're willing to match. Don't you suspect?
I mean, that's what I suspect, sure. And it does have kind of the feeling of an impending divorce here. I will say, you know, both publicly and privately, Lowry has handled this about as well as he can. And I thought he was actually very engaged last night. I thought he played very well. In fact, I think you can make a case over the last 4 to 6 games, he's made a pretty good impact off the bench and kind of settled into that role. But look, he doesn't view himself as a bench player, nor should he. And there's a lot of teams with cap space this summer. And typically teams look at a player like that with that kind of skill set and say, we can fix that. And, you know, the Bulls are going to have a decision on their hands. I mean, the decision in some ways is going to maybe be tipped before then in terms of them, you know, deciding on their cap hold and how they're going to want to use their cap situation. I mean, he's got a pretty big cap hold, so they could renounce that to, if they want to try to choose the max cap space. But, you know, I certainly think that there's a chance they would try to revisit talks with the Pelicans in a sign and trade for Lonzo Ball. I don't see that happening, but those talks were real at the deadline. I don't see him as a fit in New Orleans, but we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, it just feels like it's kind of headed for a divorce. But I'll also say this, you know, Arturis is a very close to the vest guy, as we've seen. And yeah, I don't really know where he stands on Lauri Markkanen, quite frankly. We don't have the kind of casual, you know, time with these guys that we normally do in a season to get better informed on those decisions. Publicly, he has, you know, been very supportive and complimentary of Lowry, but he also tried to trade him at the deadline. So the reason I'm all over the place is because Lowry's situation has been all over the place. He moved from a starter to a reserve, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. You know, I always say one thing I've learned in covering this league as long as I have is never say never. You can think something's headed one way and things can change. But if you're asking me to predict, I do think he'll be playing elsewhere next season.
Great stuff, KC. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up.
All right, guys. Good talking to you.
Thanks, KC.
That's KC Johnson, NBC Sports Chicago, does a great job covering this team. And we've got to get to the break. We'll talk about it when we come back. Mully and Hall on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.